Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning, Salem. Oh, it's a grand day indeed. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Thursday and every day. We're here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you with news that you can use. And currently it's 7:06 in the morning, 43 degrees right here at the KSLM studios. And today we'll see a high temperature, about 52 degrees. And guess what? The next couple days, when I'm looking at the forecast right here and I'm looking at the little, you know, picture where you can see if there's rain in the forecast or sun in the forecast, guess what? Friday and Saturday, partly cloudy sky. I see some sun peeking out. That's good news. So you can finish up raking up those wet leaves, right, in the yard and make sure that you're doing what your part to flatten the curve as we're staying home and doing our thing, right? And I have to be honest with you, friends. The last couple weeks, and I have people say, you're kind of Pollyanna and you're kind of cheery in the morning. And there's some stuff that we're walking through, and there's been a lot of heartache and trouble in people's lives over the last several months. And I maintain that we need to have a spirit of hope. We need to continue to look for that light and that silver lining in things. And I will always be guilty of that. I am not going to make excuses for it. You know, hope is a powerful force and probably the most important factor when it comes to overcoming life's biggest challenges. Without it, everything is lost. They say that in certain tragic situations, only madmen can keep their hope alive. But it's the little spark that eventually pulls them from the depths of despair. Hope has the power to make you and I do the impossible. While it's hard to be optimistic during difficult times, think of it as your only weapon. Use it to fight, and you will eventually find your way out. Don't just sit there waiting for the worst to happen, because there's always one more thing that you can do. You just haven't thought about it yet. Some people are more optimistic and hopeful by nature, and I think I'm personally one of them. But even then, they need a little reassurance every now and then that things will get better. Read a story today with a happy ending. Watch a movie that's hope-filled. Do something. Look up hope quotes. Do what you can to stir up your inner optimist. When you hope, things are more likely to turn out the way you want them. Why? Because you're willing to do everything it takes to make it happen. Kind of sounds like over, under, around, or through, right? And of course, Norman Vincent Peale has been influential in my life, and it's important that we look for ways to overcome obstacles in our day-to-day lives. And that's really my hope for you today, my friend. And really the underlining part of the show is to not only continue to talk about the things and the real tough things that we're facing in our community, in our state, in our nation, but how can we be a part of the solution? And I will continue to hit that drum as long as I have the opportunity to have this microphone in front of me and opportunity to share with you. And I again want to say thank you. I want to thank Avis and Dale and all the folks that send me, Gail as well, that send me emails and send me information, Brianna, Amy, all these friends that contact me and check in on me to see how I'm doing and assist me in getting information. And I am really delighted today in the studio. I'm so excited to bring some information. You know, I don't know where you were on September 7th this year. I'll tell you where I was. I was in the middle of Silver Falls with my daughter and her boyfriend, and we were hiking Silver Falls when it seemed like there was a shift in the atmosphere and we started seeing ash fall out of the sky. Yeah, the fires were moving fast through our wonderful forest towards Salem and in other areas of the state as well. And we went into another crisis, another layer of crisis. And many of our community members lost their homes throughout the San Yam Canyon close here, and then also up in near the Portland area and then down in the Eugene area. And Oregon has been not only affected but infected with all kinds of dilemmas this year. And in an effort to encourage you and connect you, because you might not have been personally affected, but you may know someone who is. And there are resources of help right in our community right now, willing to connect people to the information to help them. And in an effort to bring that information to you in an urgent way, because there's deadlines looming, I have the delight of bringing Latenga Hopes, I love that name, and Paul Cora in the studio with me. They are with FEMA. Good morning to both of you this morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. And so glad to be a part of the solution this morning. Paul, talk to us a little bit about what's going on. What's the state of the state as far as where people are at and how are they responding to the help that's out there right now from FEMA?
Boy, we got a lot of stuff going. Mm-hmm. We're here in force from FEMA. We have over 350 workers from around the United States came to Oregon, rushed mm-hmm. here after September 7th, after this horrid fires that went through Oregon. We had over 30 fires burning at once at one time in Oregon. That's not a very good sign.
No, not at all.
And we lost over 4,400 homes throughout Oregon.
Wow.
And for applications so far, we've had about 25,000 people sign applications for help through FEMA. So we're here to help. It's a slow process, unfortunately. When people go through the disasters and survivors, they can get frustrated. And words of hope are incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of things that we're doing. Right now, we're kind of middle of a housing crisis through lots of different areas throughout Oregon. So especially, you know, in the Salem area, obviously people who've driven up to Detroit and those areas, there's lots and lots of homes that are lost. So mm-hmm. we're trying as hard as we can to get people out of hotels into more of a permanent situations, hopefully, you know, like apartments or rental homes, so we can start the rebuilding process. At the same time, we're going through and we're starting the phase two cleanup. So that means that we're starting to go out and start cleaning up home sites. The DEQ already went out and cleaned up most of the sites for all the hazardous materials, mm-hmm. which is fantastic. So now we're going into phase two. And so pay attention to that process. Then once that process is done, we can start rebuilding this community.
You know, one of the things that I've noticed in Oregon, and of course Latenga, we talked about this on the phone a little bit, where people are a little hesitant. They're just not sure about signing up, and they're a little resistant maybe because they don't understand or they don't know the process. It's a little intimidating, the paperwork, all of that. What do you say to that person who may know someone who's like, I don't really want to deal with the government?
Well, first, Oregon doesn't have very many disasters. I'm from Oregon.
So, okay.
And I travel throughout the United States and see disasters everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have them here in Oregon, which is a great thing.
Yes.
So when the federal government comes in, people are a little bit, I'm not sure I want to sign a waiver to have people come on my property.
Right.
Well, here's the alternative. If you want to clean up your own property, that's fine. But it could cost you like $75,000.
Mm.
So why not have the federal government come in and help and local government come in and help you clean up your property? Because it gets your process of getting your home built faster. And that's our goal.
Well, and part of that is, and I think this is the education opportunity, is that cleanup of the property. If there is dangerous chemicals, the government has prepared people to take care of that, and that's where the costly part oftentimes is with, right?
Absolutely. Train people. DEQ comes in. They mm-hmm. take up all the, you know, all the hazardous materials, the propanes, the, you know, all the mm-hmm. gasolines and all that, and they dispose of them properly. And then we start the next process, and a lot of homes have asbestos and all these issues that need to be. These products need to be brought someplace safely, mm-hmm. and so it doesn't spread throughout the community. And there's a whole process to do that. I understand people are a little bit skeptical of the government, but mm-hmm. you know, we all pay taxes,
right?
And I pay taxes, you pay taxes. Mm-hmm. This is like an insurance policy that we all pay into. And so it's important that, you know, it's time for this money to come back. And mm-hmm. and this is a great way we can get our tax dollars to help us in Oregon.
Well, and for me and my personal worldview is this is a role the government should have, is when there's a crisis and there's difficulty in people's lives to come alongside and help in that time of crisis. And I do think FEMA has a great record of doing that. In my lifetime, I can think of all the different times people have been helped. helped, whether it be a tornado or a hurricane. And like you said, in Oregon, we've been sheltered from a lot of this, and now we have fires. And so, friends, listeners, we want you to be tuned in today, because I think you may know somebody. Maybe not you personally, but you may know somebody, maybe a coworker, maybe someone in your family, and they're like, I just don't know if I want to go that next step and get the help. You know, yes, you might have insurance and you might qualify for insurance, but why not come alongside and get it done faster, potentially, right, with these funds?
Well, when you sign up for FEMA, and if somebody says, well, you know, I already have insurance, mm-hmm. I'm going to be well taken care of, and you may very well be. But a lot of people don't. You may be underinsured with insurance. You won't mm-hmm. find that out until the very end. I go, right. Man, I'm short some money. They mm-hmm. didn't give me all the money I needed. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're here. We can help fill that gap. Mm-hmm. Or if you don't have any insurance, we're not going to be able to replace everything and build you back the way you were. But we can stand you up and dust you off and head you in the right direction. So that's we have great. A little bit of money for that. And that's why the state of Oregon asked the federal government if we can extend the deadline. Mm. And LaTanya can talk a little bit more about what mm-hmm. those dates are. But we want to capture everybody in the state who's a little bit leery about, you know, I'm not sure I should have signed up because I have insurance. I think everybody should sign up. It's free. Sign up. And it's available money that you could get. If it's not a grant money, which is free money that you can, you don't have to repay it. Mm-hmm. The SBA is here. Mm-hmm. And Small Business Administration, and they can actually help you with loans if mm-hmm. you want need a loan, or a bridge loan. Mm-hmm. That is a loan that you can get from the SBA that can help you get money started on rebuilding your home. And when the insurance company pays you back, you pay. See, there's all these different things that the SBA, which we're not from them, but they have some great programs.
So you're telling me the SBA can help out in the home rebuilding, even though, because you usually hear small business and you think building businesses, but they have a program to help in these kinds of situations.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
We have billions of dollars available.
Fantastic.
And people who we've helped in Louisiana, Florida, they repay those loans, which goes back into the pot, which then goes out to people in California for the wildfires, mm-hmm. Oregon wildfires. So this money is out there, and it's for us. And,
yes.
And it's a really cheap rate, cheaper than you can get it from a bank. And it's a great program, and I encourage everybody, especially when you sign up for FEMA, there's going to be an application for Small Business Administration loans for homeowners, mm-hmm. and you can fill that out. And it doesn't mean you have to take a loan, but mm-hmm. you fill it out, and it's just like any other loan. And we'll see where you fall. If you need a grant, we can get you a grant. If you get you a loan, we can get you a loan.
But you don't know what's available until you sign up. And where do they go to sign up?
I'll actually have LaTanya talk about that.
All right. So go ahead.
We have two different options for you. The 1-800 number is 1-800-621-3362. Mm-hmm. And then you can go to our website. It's disasterassistance.gov. And you can use either one of those resources in order to get a hold of somebody that can get you what you need.
Oh, that's fantastic. And we'll keep hitting that, giving that information out throughout the morning show. We just wanted to give it out early. So you may want to bring a pen and pencil to your radio today, friends, so that we can write down all of these facts. We're going to also save this on a podcast, and you can stream it. Send it to your friends. Let them know what's going on. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Thursday and every day. We'll be back after this.
Good morning. It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day. This morning. Stepping on my way. Good morning. Give me strength to give me
joy. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann, here together with you with news that you can use on this Thursday. And I want to remind you that I love your feedback. I love your ideas for show guests and topics. Continue to send me those emails, Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y, at KSLM.news. And I want to encourage you, too, as we move into the holiday season, we're looking for ways to continue to partner with the community and continue to partner with our nonprofits who have been so affected by the pandemic and their ability to, and usually in the fall, they do a lot of their fundraising. And if you have a nonprofit that you're working with or it's part of your heart and your family likes to donate to that you think we should feature in December, will you make that recommendation to me? Send me an email, Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y at KSLM.news. And I want to thank Bill Sunderland, Country Financial Sunderland Agency, for being a morning show sponsor. Give Bill a call for your insurance needs, 503-885-0789. You can find him at sunderlandagency.com. We're continuing the conversation this morning with FEMA, and I'm so glad to have Paul here in the studio. And Paul, I want to talk to you a little bit about the after effects. And you say you're from Oregon. You've lived here. You're one of us, right? And let's talk a little bit about the impact when you first went up and saw the devastation there in the communities heading up to Detroit. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, if my family's vacation there every summer up to Detroit Lake at the state campground. We've been up, we go to Bend, this Highway 22 is one of our favorite drives in the world. Mm-hmm. Those of us who live in Oregon, you know how pretty it is. Mm-hmm. It's just gorgeous. I mean, it's, you don't appreciate it until it's gone.
Right.
And so I've been up there a few times, and it's devastation. It's something you're not prepared for. Mm. It is, when you go through the towns of Mill City, and then you see all the homes that were burnt down in Mill City. Mm. And then you go to Gates, and then the part of the grade school's burnt down. And then you see the hotels that were been there and the lumber yards that were there, they're gone. Mm. Not everything's gone, but a lot of it's gone. And then you travel up to Detroit, and then you see the devastation alongside the highways, all the trees that were burnt down. And they've cut them down because they need to cut those trees down because once they're dead, they don't want them to fall on the highway and right. injure one of us. So mm-hmm. it's devastation. You can see this beautiful Santa Ana River before it was all forested around there. We're afraid of the flooding that's going to happen this winter. There's lots of things that could happen. Then you get to Detroit, one of my favorite places in the world.
Yes, mine too.
And you drive through there, and all you see is, now it's left is the post office and a grocery store, and all the rest of it's gone.
Mm.
And it just tears your heart out. And it's like, oh my gosh. But the good news,
yes,
the state campground's still there.
That's good news.
And the Forest Center across the highway there is still there.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the trees around Detroit Lake are fine. But the homes around in the city of Detroit, mm-hmm. most of them are all gone.
Now, we're in Detroit. You know, I remember as a kid being raised here in this area, we would go camping as well, and we would go on the lake, and because it would fill up in the summer and go down in the winter and all of that. Were the homes mostly, were the residents there year-round, or were some of them vacation homes? What was the community, what was the makeup of the community there?
Well, up in Detroit, there's kind of a mix. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's some permanent residents that live up there. Mm-hmm. And there's offices, there's some vacation homes. Mm-hmm. And so most of those all burnt down.
Mm-hmm.
But like communities that we've seen in other, like down in California, we will rebuild. And we want people to come back. It's just a couple of years ago, remember when we had snowfalls up there that they had 6 feet of snow in Detroit,
mm-hmm.
and don't know where to put all the snow.
Exactly.
And now the city is gone. But we will rebuild. We want people to come back to Detroit, and we're going to help that process. And so survivors, I don't mean this against anything but Oregonians, but I've lived here.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes Oregonians are a little bit on the stubborn side.
Oh, sometimes?
Sometimes. And so
that pioneer spirit,
this is the time that survivors need to reach out for some help.
Yes.
And it's, we can only provide so much from the federal government. The mm-hmm. state's going to offer stuff. But there's lots of volunteer organizations that are willing to help.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time to ask for help. We're so used to giving help as Oregonians.
Yes,
we're gonna help our neighbor, which is fantastic.
Right.
But to get through this, you need to ask for help.
It's okay.
It's okay.
It is okay because, like you said, more than anything, they've been giving help all this time. Now it's time for them to receive. Position to receive, I always say. how beautiful it is as an Oregonian for you to be a part of that solution.
It's pretty rare, and I'm pretty honored that I'm here to help. Mm-hmm. It is a privilege for me to do this for my neighbors and family members. And I haven't seen all the destruction, but I mean, especially down south in Phoenix and areas down south. But we've been down to, Lincoln City, that area, same thing. We've been up in the Clackamas County, homes destroyed, communities destroyed. And it's going to take not just months, it's going to take years to rebuild.
And a plan, you know, having a strategic plan on how to help. And you're part of that. You're part of the solution. And I've often wondered, even driving through, I've not been up to Detroit yet, trying to stay out of the way because they need to get the work done, right? But I've been curious, but I have gone to the coast. And I was just in, I was like, oh my goodness, this looks like a war torn area that you see on TV, you know, with the car still there, and just you could just tell it came through in such a rush, devastating, and the trauma. And when we come back from this break, I have some questions about that a little bit more of the mental health side of this and how fires, and a little story to tell our listeners and tell you. And again, go ahead and give us how people can get a hold of FEMA and what they need to do to connect.
Give us a call, 1-800-621-3362, or either check us out online at disasterassistance.gov.
Fantastic, fantastic. And these are things, friends, that this is, again, a way we can be a part of the solution, and we can bring hope into the people's lives around us who are facing these challenges and wondering, where do I go next? And some people are struggling even to get a call back from insurance, and they don't know which way to go. And now it's getting cold outside and rainy, and people are wondering what to do about housing. We're going to talk a little bit when we come back from this break as well. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann, and we're excited to bring you information that you can use. And also want to remind you, coming up on Saturday, a Supermarket Saturday, bring your non-perishable food items to Safeway on Center Street. In the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. Terry Soule is going to join me at 8 o'clock, and we'll talk about the Supermarket Saturday. But now put it on your calendar. That is something you can still do right now. You can go grocery shopping. So why not meet at the grocery store and help others in need? Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann. It's 43 degrees right now. The KSLM studio is going to be about 52 degrees. We'll see some rain sprinkling throughout today, but the good news is sunshine on the way tomorrow, partly cloudy sky, 52 degrees. Tomorrow and Saturday. Usually towards the weekend, I kind of take a peek to see what's going on at the coast in case I want to sneak over there, because, you know, for so many years I was landlocked and I missed my Oregon coast. And so if I can get over there about every 10 days or so, I am a happy camper. Now, I'm not, because I'm a redhead. I'm not one to lay out on the beach. And of course, we know here in Oregon, we don't really do that. But I do love to just even sit and watch the waves and hit the rocks and splash up. And certainly Depot Bay, over this last week or so, they've had some high waves, and certainly the swells, and I don't know, some people call them king waves, others say that's kind of a myth, but certainly it's such a beautiful area. And maybe that's something you'll want to do, is go for a drive. That's something you still can do, do some sightseeing. And we have in the studio today a wonderful guest from FEMA, and they're talking about how we can connect with those that have been affected by the fires, not only in our particular area, but there are several counties throughout Oregon that have been under siege, in a sense, through fires. And I think, I don't even know what the status is. Paul, maybe you can help me, or maybe you know. Are there any fires still burning? Are they all under control now? I should take a peek at that.
Well, I hope not. I mean, with all the rain, I think all the fires are out.
We're pretty much out. I think we would hear about it if it was the case. But I know it took a while. It took a long time when these fires initially started. And then even to the point where Labor Day, when they hit, people weren't aware really how close they were and how those high winds just, it just set them ablaze all over. How many counties were affected here in Oregon?
We have 8 counties that we're serving right now.
Mm-hmm.
So from Southern Oregon to Clackamas County in the north and all the way down to Lincoln City, down to the west. So we're everywhere.
So even though we're right here in Salem and we're talking about this particular area that we're familiar with because you're an Oregonian and you vacation up in the Detroit area, these programs are for everybody in Oregon that have been affected by fire, right? And there is a differentiate. We need to differentiate about their main home versus a vacation home, right? Talk to us a little bit about help for them.
Well, we don't, FEMA doesn't duplicate insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to get a grant through FEMA, mm-hmm. it's for your primary resident. It's not for your vacation home.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully vacation homes have insurance and they'll be taken care of by their insurance companies. So our main goal is your primary home
mm-hmm.
and where you live with your family.
Good.
And right now, and especially in Marion County, in the Salem area and up around Detroit, all the way down, we have a huge housing mission.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying as hard as we can to find housing for everybody. Right after a fire, we're going to put people in shelters
mm-hmm.
and then start getting people into hotels as fast as we possibly can. Thank gosh, we're American Red Cross in Oregon is helping with that mission.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's time to move people out of the hotels. It's
yes.
time to find permanent housing. Not permanent, but why their home's getting rebuilt.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're looking at a housing mission. And what does that mean? Everything's on the table.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to try to get people into apartments, into rental homes. And if need be, especially in this county, we may have to bring in some trailers. And that will be up to the local government where we're going to put these trailers if it's needed. But we're going to try to get people as close as to work and to schools, because it's hard if somebody, for example, is in Detroit
mm-hmm.
and they're going to school up there and we put them in an apartment in Salem, it's a long drive. So
mm-hmm.
everything's on the table. We're looking at every single thing. And when you sign up for FEMA, you have a caseworker. So we know what your situation is. And in every county, we're looking at housing missions and how we can help out people. Right now, we have lots of trailers show up in Southern Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
So we place orders, and they're coming in, and we're placing them throughout there. And the housing missions throughout Oregon. Not every county is going to get a housing mission like for trailers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, Lane County with the city of Eugene, they have lots of rental available. So.
Right.
So in Clackamas County, same thing. Lots of places we can put people. So every county is a little bit different, but we're on it.
And in Marion County, it seems even moving here, there's a little bit of a housing crunch. Affordable housing, in my perspective, is a little bit of a challenge. And I certainly cannot even imagine living in a hotel room, especially if you have children and you have pets and not being set up necessarily with the right kind of cooking. And so there's several challenges that we can't even wrap our mind around. And my having a case manager background in working with families, and I just can't even fathom the layers of help. Now, my question to you, when you talk about bringing in trailers and housing and things, I'm guessing you're looking for places to put them, like land and people that might be willing to, where do you, that's a process, isn't it? Trying to get them set up.
It is a huge process. It's a local issue.
Mm-hmm.
We go to the planning commissions and they help us site these places.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases we can put them on people's properties.
Okay.
But we have to make sure it's safe, as in we need to hook them up to the sewer.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get water to them. We have to mm-hmm. have electricity. And if we can't provide that on a homeowner's property, then we have to look for maybe existing trailer sites where we have trailer homes already.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's not available, then we need to come up with another solution. So all those are on the table, and every community is slightly different. So what's going to work in down in Phoenix may not work in Marion County.
And it depends on the weather and the issues there as well. And when we talk trailers, my understanding, we're not talking RVs. We're talking manufactured trailers. I have watched these come into the area in South Dakota when there would be tornadoes at Pine Ridge. I watched a lot of the FEMA trailers come in, and they were nice homes. I mean, in between, you know, they're not your home, but they're better than just a little RV, right?
Well, we have a variety. And like campers, we may bring in if somebody lives by themselves,
mm-hmm.
that may be a great solution.
All right.
Or maybe a bigger mobile home that might be a nicer solution for a family of 2 or 3 people.
Mm-hmm.
So We'll bring in all different kinds of facilities.
Well, that's good. Kind of fit the need of the family individually. That's great. And what's your biggest obstacle with connecting with people about housing right now? What are, just not knowing about it?
You know, the obstacle is time, because once we figure out this family needs to be placed in a temporary home, and these mobile homes are, you know, up to 18 months. That's kind of what our window is.
Mm-hmm.
It is now, we don't have those trailers just sitting someplace. We have to call a manufacturer. It says, okay, we need so many these homes, and how fast can you get them here? And they're not necessarily made here in Oregon. Some are.
Mm-hmm.
If they are made in Oregon, we're going to hire, you know, local companies to do it. But if not, we have to truck them in.
Mm.
That just takes time.
Yes.
And time is at essence, especially around the holidays.
Yes.
It is stressful.
To
everybody.
And on that note, talking about stress, and I know, having lived through a fire as a teenager, we lived outside of Salem towards Independence on River Road out there, and we had a garage fire. It wasn't connected to the house, but we were asleep. The teenage kids were asleep, and my parents came home and said, there's a fire, and it was quite the trauma. And I know just the trauma I experienced from that. What kind of support, who are you networking with to bring support to these families, kind of their counseling and emotional support for the trauma that they're facing, not only with the loss, but now they have to mitigate all of these things. What do you have there?
Well, trauma, it comes in lots of different forms.
Mm-hmm.
And when a survivor of a major disaster like this goes through a lot of emotions, especially when the holidays are coming up,
mm-hmm.
and you're not living at home. You're living someplace else, or maybe with another family, with sisters, brothers, mom and dad. And it's extremely stressful. And it's going to take a long time. You have to be an expert at insurance now. Now mm-hmm. you have to be an expert at getting through the federal government applications for loans or grants. And you have to keep working. You have to keep your family moving. You have to go to the grocery store. There's mm-hmm. a lot of stress just to live. And so FEMA's helping with that. We have a crisis line that we have counselors that can help. LaTanya can maybe have some information where somebody who is a survivor can call and get some help.
Alrighty. So the number that we have is for Safe and Strong. That it's a Safe and Strong hotline. So if anybody's suffering with stress, anxiety, or any other type of impact that they feel, depression, we have a number that you can call, and it's 1-800-923-HELP, and HELP would translate to 4357. So 1-800-923-4357. Again, it's called the Safe and Strong Helpline, and it's available for anybody that may just have some ambivalence about how they're feeling,
mm-hmm.
based on, first of all, we're in a season of thanks. There may be some isolation related to this, some mm-hmm. displacement that's associated with this. Call the number and see if there's someone that can maybe just provide you with some insight and kind of help ground you. Again, that number is 1-800-923-4357.
We'll put this up on the show plan along with the websites and the resource list that you have. We'll put it on the show plan. So friends, when we put this up on the podcast this afternoon and have links to it, share it with those that may benefit from it, and certainly bring awareness to one another of what resources are out there. There's some deadlines coming up on the housing. They've extended some deadlines. Paul, where are we at with the drop date of when you need to register and get some help?
The register, we moved the deadline out to November 30th.
Mm-hmm.
So if any people who hasn't, any survivors haven't signed up yet, mm-hmm. certainly we give it a little bit more time, which is extremely important. We could capture everybody we possibly can. Talking on the stressful lines, this part of the disaster, some people are getting their applications back from FEMA and they've been denied.
Mm.
That can be extremely stressful.
Right.
What I can tell survivors is that the denial doesn't mean denial. Denial means that we need to have a conversation with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because anytime you fill out any forms, you're talking to a real person.
Yes.
And I'm going to get your social security number, your phone number. I may get one of those numbers wrong on the application, or we're trying to get a hold of you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get an application back, I think it's important that to contact FEMA right away. Let's have a conversation.
Oh, I agree. And oftentimes, yes, you just need to certify. I remember doing a financial aid for my daughter, and they were like, we need more information. I was like, oh no, we got to get this done. So those forms can be cumbersome, but they're for a purpose. They're to really find out what your needs are and so that they can serve you well. So we need to connect. We need to get the information filled out. We need to get you signed up or your friends or family who have these needs. And let's get them out of these hotel rooms and apartments and into a little bit better housing situation. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, with news that you can use on this Thursday and every day. We'll be back after this. Good morning.
Good morning.
Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. Want to thank Dave and Paige Smith, Realty One Group here in Willamette Valley. They're ready to go above and beyond to serve you and your real estate needs. 503-939-7099. Continuing the conversation today and having a wonderful time with our friends from FEMA telling us what the resources are for those who've been impacted by fire. And I thought you had a really good point. You know, we want to hit this home a little bit. You know, when we talk about filling out all the paperwork, and I know it's cumbersome. I just think about even doing tax forms and financial aid for our college students and things. It can be a little cumbersome, but there is a purpose in it. And what I'm understanding, and Paul, you can clarify, if they fill out this form and they need more information, sometimes they'll make references to other organizations that can help, like Small Business Association. Is that how you say it? Small Business
Administration.
Administration. And then they apply for that, and then they don't get that either. But they might qualify from something else from FEMA, right? So you got to keep going through it.
You have to keep going through it. So yep. if you get a denial letter, read the whole thing.
Yes.
Read every single bit of it. Mm-hmm. And if you have any questions, call us. Mm-hmm. Let's have a conversation. Some cases that you put your mailing address down to get a hold of you. Well, your mailing address is gone. So
yes.
now you need to get a post office box.
Right.
And so you may not have thought about that. Mm-hmm. Or we're trying to get a hold of you to do a home inspection, but your phone number you gave it to us is not correct.
Right.
So there's lots of little things that you need to pay particular attention to. But call us and let's have a conversation and let's get you through this process as fast as we possibly can.
And that's why the phone numbers are on the documents. That's why there's people assigned and case managers and all of that, people to assist you along the way. Now, one of the things I'm a little concerned about, and I saw some of this on social media, of course, people were alerting people of it, is the fraud. Talk to us a little bit. How do people protect themselves from fraudulent people coming in trying to get their information or try to say there's something that they're not? What are you suggesting there?
Well, in this disaster, like any other disaster, there's a little bit of fraud that follows it. Mm-hmm. The reason why that is because right now we have over $28 million mm-hmm. coming into the state, given to the hands of survivors to help start to rebuild. And what I caution everybody is that if it's too good to be true, it probably is. So mm-hmm. don't be real cautious when somebody comes to you and says, hey, we're going to do a home inspection. For example, FEMA, we will never charge you for anything. Mm-hmm. So if an inspector comes to your house, we're not going to ask for any money.
Right.
We have ID, we have uniforms, and so we don't charge for that. Mm-hmm. Or if now we're starting to get the cleanup process, so somebody say, we're going to charge you a lot more money for, you know, to clean up your property, but if the state is going to pay for that, see, that's too good to be true. Mm-hmm. So that if you have money, especially when we start to contracting out and starting to rebuild, mm-hmm. you need to get references, just like anything else.
Yes.
Let's not be smart what you're doing. Mm-hmm. These contractors have to be licensed in the state of Oregon. They have to have them be insured and bonded in the state of Oregon. So contact your local, you know, your county commissioners and building commissioners about who you should contract out to. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, don't put a lot of money up front. I mean, there's just so many things. Common sense comes into common mm-hmm. sense here. It's about... So there is fraud, but just be very cautious when somebody wants something for money. It's just, it happens just about every disaster.
Well, and when you already have people that are already so displaced and a little bit of confusion because they're out of their normal routine, and we've been out of our normal routine, but even before the fires with a lot of the pandemic stuff going on where we have been upended everything that we know about this year or plan to do this year. Yes. And so it's very important.
I wanted to add there's also a hazard mitigation service that we're providing.
Okay.
That's another resource that's available through FEMA.
Mm-hmm.
So when we get to the point that you are rebuilding your home, we usually have these specialists that are standing by that can help you build back better.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to always use the analogy when we talk about mitigation and what it means. It's as simple as tying your shoe. So if there's something that they can help you do, and I understand this is not a disaster-prone state,
mm-hmm.
but in the meantime, if there's something that they can do to help you build back stronger and more proficient so that you need not worry about when the disaster come
mm-hmm.
Or ever impacts your state again, there's some things that you can do that might be supportive of you being able to maybe divert or be alleviated by some of the damage that would come from standard disasters.
I love that. And I love the fact that you're kind of planning ahead, helping them and maybe never be here again, right, in this situation. and some of that is just proper, if they've had property, a lot of these places along the canyon, the whole idea of being there is getting out of town, you know, having some space, right, and having animals and things like that. And so it's a little different challenge than probably if you've ever had to deal with flooding and inner city type stuff, you know, that's happened down in Houston and things like that. So you guys are really equipped to help in all areas, aren't you, Paul? You've seen a lot in probably your service time, haven't you?
Unfortunately, yes.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of things that FEMA workers see that, unfortunately. But we're here to help the survivors. And I mean, every little disaster is slightly different. But I encourage people who haven't signed up. I said, well, my home wasn't really affected. You know, I got some smoke damage. You know, I don't know if I should sign up. Well, you should.
Mm-hmm.
And here's an example. You know, we talked about erosion, you know, and because of the fires, all of a sudden now your property is next to a river or some waterlands. All of a sudden your property starts to flood and you have damage on your property or do your home because of that. Well, if you didn't already sign up for FEMA, you're too late. So it's time to sign up, just in case.
Just get signed in.
Just sign into
the system. And the other question I have, because so many people are in their work field right now are upended, or their hours have been minimized, or they have to look at things differently, is FEMA looking for local help and professionals to sign on and be employees in this area?
Oh, absolutely. We need people. And FEMA workers, we come in and we're here for 30 days, 60 days. Then we start to hire local people to come and help. And we need lots of people.
Okay.
And maybe LaTanya can come up with it. We have a website that people can go to and see what kind of jobs are available.
Okay.
USAjobs.gov.
Okay. Get signed on and be a part of the solution that way too. And I know I know people in the past who've worked with FEMA in different areas of the country, and they've had great things to say about the organization and working for and the support that you have, even through the pandemic, right? And I just want to say thank you to both of you, because I always am drawn to people who are in the helping field, and especially those that come in during crisis, because it takes a certain kind of individual to be able to go in and connect with people in crisis mode. It's not your everyday person. And so thank you for the work that you do and the help that you're bringing here to Oregon.
Well, thanks for having us.
Yes. And do keep us in the loop on what's developments over the next few months and ways that we can be of help. Okay. Give us the websites again one more time.
Disasterassistance.gov, 1-800-621-3362.
Excellent. Well, we are so glad to have you a part of the solution and in the studio today. And we wish you a happy Thanksgiving. Are you going to stay in the area, or do you get to travel again back to home? Where's home for you?
Home for me would be California.
Oh,
right around the corner.
Oh, not too far away. Well, thank you for being here, both of you. Thank you, Paul. Have a wonderful day. And friends, we're going to go into hour two, and we're going to talk a little bit of things that we can do here in the community through the Thanksgiving week. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Thursday and every day. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back after this.